Psalms 18. In your Bible, find that passage, 18th chapter in the book of Psalms. If you're new to the Bible, that's in the middle of your Bible. If you just open it about halfway there, you'll be somewhere close to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 18. And we'll be reading the first two verses of this chapter this morning. If you're new to Christianity, if you're newly saved, if you're new to church, if you're new to your Bible, the book of Psalms is an encouraging book. It's a blessed book, and you do good to read it. I wanted to say it's good to have David and Rachel Bridge here this morning. David and Rachel just married a few weeks ago, and back for the first time since the wedding. And good to see them. Of course, they were here for John and Vanessa's wedding on yesterday. And had a good wedding yesterday. It was a good wedding. I was glad for that. Man, it was well attended, and it was interesting. Amen. John left the rings in the car and didn't think about it till we got up on the platform. And we had to send the best man out to the car to get the rings. Amen. And then we had him turn the microphone on in the hallway so he wouldn't forget to turn it on when he got ready to sing. That was a surprise. He reached in when he got ready to sing, turned it off. Amen. So he was nervous. And then their candles caught fire. I mean, they weren't just bad. They were fire burning. I mean, like a torch. And I was trying to give them a little admonition. They kept looking back there. Fire got bigger and bigger. Finally, I just reached over and, whoa, blew them out. Never had to do that in a wedding before. Had to relight them later on. But we had a good time. And so it was wonderful. Larry and Wanda Jessaw here this morning. Good to see them visiting. And then, of course, Daryl and Barb, their family. Just good to have you folks in. God bless you. Let's stand together, please. Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. I'll read verse 1. Please join me on verse 2. And we'll take a text here this morning, preach for a little while out of these verses. David said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Thank you, Lord, for your book. I pray that you'll, Lord, shed some light on it this morning for us. May we dig something out of here that would be an encouragement, a truth that would help us. Oh, God, please do something that we cannot do. Through the words of this book this morning, may your spirit be with us in these next several minutes in a powerful way. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seen.
Long as
To us today, it was a blessing to us 4 years ago. If our eyes are a little bit moist and you don't understand why 4 years ago God reached down, took one of the finest young men we ever had in this church to heaven when he was 18 years of age. I'm glad he comes and sings that song every now and again. I don't want to forget Nathan's life. And if ever there was an 18-year-old who wanted his life to count for the Lord, it was Nathan Lockwood. A blessing. I enjoyed that song this morning. I probably think more about you folks who have had to bury children than I think of the other folks in our church. I think of you more often. I can't imagine what kind of cross that must be to bear. And God bless you for your faithfulness. And thank God that there's a heaven. And that those young people are with the Lord today. Amen. Thank you, Dan, for that good song. I'm glad you sang it today. I'm glad it was a reminder of... Not only do I want to be that man, but a reminder of my good friend, Nathan Lockwood. I want to speak to you this morning on verse number 2 of this chapter, where David said about the Lord, He's my high tower. My high tower. I want to use those words as my title this morning and bring you a message called My High Tower. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are thankful for Your Spirit's working in our hearts. Thankful, Lord, that we have Your Word, and pray as we open its pages this morning that You would empower me. God, I am just a mere man, and not by might nor by my power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. That's how things get done eternally. Through the power of the Spirit of God. I need my mind to be arrested by the Spirit. I need my emotional faculties. I need my physical faculties to be under Your control. I pray for every listening ear in this room this morning that, Lord, You'd speak to the more than just the ear. Speak, please, to the heart. And thank You for this text. And help me now in Jesus' name. And amen. David loved music. He knew how to play a harp. And evidently, he was quite good at it. He was well known throughout Israel as a good harp player. And when King Saul wanted somebody to come to the kingdom and play the harp in his palace, of course, David's name came up and he was brought to the palace and he played the harp for King Saul. His love for music was a gift from God. And God used that love to pen many, to pen many songs here in the book of Psalms. That's what the word Psalms is. It means song. And Psalms 18, or Song 18, is a song that David enjoyed singing over and over again. It's kind of like you have a favorite song gets on your mind. You know that sometimes if somebody sings, you know, probably in the next several days, that song that he just sang will be going through my mind. I'll be singing that to myself as I think about Nathan a little bit more, and that song will be on my heart and my mind. And you get a song like that. And David had a song like that, that he sang more than just one time. And he sang it over and over again on special occasions. David first sang this song after God delivered him out of the hand of Saul. You remember how Saul attempted to kill him? Chased him around like a partridge, like hunters would chase a partridge in the mountains. And finally, God put an end to Saul's insanity. And David sang the song that we just read at the close of that crazy Saul's craziness. And David sang this song after God delivered him from the sons of Goliath. Not from Goliath, but from the sons of Goliath. Goliath had four sons, and they were giants as well. And real late in David's life, those four boys came and they tried to get revenge against David. Goliath's sons did. They came to get revenge, and they ended up defeating those four sons of the giant. And David sang this song again. Now, we know specifically about those two occasions because of 2 Samuel 22 and verse 1. And the Bible says, then David sang this song. And it tells us when he sang it. David might have used it after other battles, such as the ones that he fought against the Philistines after he became king. But I know he used it on at least two occasions. And I've often said through the years, there are times when it is much easier to express what is in your heart and soul through a song than it is through a monologue, than it is through talking. This song is all about the Lord. And I love how it begins in the first verse. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. You feel David clinging to God like a child clings to its parent, like a wife may cling to her husband. David expresses a strong and deep affection for God and refers to Him as my strength. Now, I like that. My strength. You see, David knew those times in his life when his own physical strength was not enough. And no matter how strong he might have been physically, there were occasions when he needed more than what he was. More than what he had. Maybe he needed a different kind of strength. Maybe he needed strength of nerve, or strength of resolve, or strength of encouragement, or strength of soul, or strength of perseverance. But he needed more than what he had, what he was. And when he ran short on supply, he learned that God more than made up the difference for him. He called Him my strength. Then you get to verse number 2. And in verse number 2, David begins to sing about the different ways that God's strength was shown to him. He says, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my buckler. The Lord is the horn of my salvation. And then at the very end, he adds that last phrase, and my high tower. Now, in military battles, you always want the high ground. You want the high ground. You want the advantage of being able to see, to pick up the movement of the enemy, to avoid the difficulty of having to fight uphill. Did you ever play King of the Hill when you was a kid? It was always better to be on the hill than it was to be trying to fight your way up the top of the hill. And we used to play that. Maybe you didn't have hills here in flat country. Amen. But we had hills in Georgia. And they'd be building houses or something. They'd have mounds of dirt. And we loved it. We had dirt clod battles. Now, y'all ever have a dirt clod fight? That was so much fun. I mean, just dirt clod. Now, our dirt clods were made out of clay. So they were weapons. I mean it, man. They were tough. And then we had those hills. And it was always fun to get up on there and be the king of the hill, you know. And here comes one, you throw them off. This one, you throw them off. It was always easier and best to be on top of the hill than it was trying to get to the top of the hill. Always a bit. And David said, God is my high tower. He is in a position above my enemies. He can see far more than I can see. And listen, because of God's position, David was a stronger person. He was in touch with his high tower. And because of all the advantage of his position, David had an increased strength because of his high tower's position. Now, when I think of a high tower in today's world, I immediately think of air traffic control towers at our nation's airports. I wouldn't want to work there. That's a pressure cooker of a job, isn't it, huh? Now, I don't like to fly. I used to like to fly. I used to enjoy flying. But since 9/11 and all the restrictions and all that goes on, man, you're basically a hostage on those planes right now. I think it was the last time I flew. I sat in 95 degree heat for 55 minutes with just the fan going with 200 other adults while they tried to help some poor dog and cat in the cargo section of the airplane. That's right. I could have helped them real quick. Amen. 55 minutes. We sat while they tried to take care of a dog and a cat. I don't like flying now. If I can drive 7, 8, 9 hours to get to a meeting or someplace where I'm supposed to be speaking or something, I'll drive every time, hands down. But when I fly, I have a routine that I go through. I have a routine that I go through in the waiting area. It also includes profiling. Sorry, but I look around for potential hijackers. Describe them to me. Don't have to. You know what they look like. I just get my eyes on them. See if they got anything I shouldn't be carrying. Amen. Yeah. I don't care if it's politically correct or not. I'm interested in me. Amen. My safety. Getting back home. I have a routine I go through in the waiting area. I have a routine I go through on the plane. Part of that routine is upon takeoff and landing, I like to put the headphones on and listen to the channel that's tuned in to the cockpit and hear the conversation between the pilot and the people in the tower. Anybody ever do that, huh? You folks ever do that? I like that stuff. I like to listen to that. I like to listen to the conversation back and forth and back and forth. It's interesting once you get into the air and you're approaching the destination. It's interesting to hear the person in the tower carrying on a conversation with several different aircraft. He'll be talking to United Flight such and such, American Flight such and such. He'll be talking to Southwest. He'll be talking to this different airline, this different airline. He'll have conversations going with 7 or 8 different airplanes. And you look out the window and normally you can't see any other aircraft in the sky. Maybe one way across the distance there as you're approaching the landing. But he's got a conversation going on with all the aircraft that are on his radar screen. I've heard them redirect airplanes that I was flying on out of severe turbulence. I've heard them redirect airplanes around thunderclouds. Last time I flew going to Dallas on American Airlines, he was approaching the runway and approaching his final approach, coming out his final approach to the runway at the airport. And the air traffic controller, he said, American 163, go ahead, clear to land on the runway to the right. And he said, the pilot came back and said, American 163, confirm, land on the runway to the right. Request permission to land on left. No. That's it. I didn't know what was going on, but I knew one thing. That pilot wasn't going to land on the left. Amen. He was going to land on the right. It's interesting to listen to that conversation that goes on between the pilot at the front of that aircraft and the man or woman in the high tower. You see, that person in the tower gives the pilot of that aircraft a position of increased strength. Oh, the pilot is trained. He's knowledgeable. He's experienced in handling an aircraft. He's physically capable of flying that plane. But the person in the tower increases his strength because the tower has access to information and knowledge that the pilot doesn't have. And friend, I am glad I have the same God David had. I'm glad that God is my high tower. You see, I'm trying to navigate the aircraft of my life to a safe landing someday. I'm trying to do that. I sound awful loud to myself this morning. Is it loud back there? It's just booming up here. It's plenty loud up here. I just want to make sure I'm not blowing you out this morning. I'm trying to navigate the aircraft of my life to a safe landing. And I'm not ashamed to say to you that I need help. There are things I can't see. I have very limited knowledge. I have very limited plane of sight. I'm glad that I've got God, who is my high tower, seated far above where He has knowledge and wisdom and information I don't have. I can see so very little compared to Him. He has a panoramic view of life, of what's going on because God is my high tower. I can enjoy a position of increased strength. And so can you. You see, the God of the Bible, friend, is your God. The God that David had when he wrote this and sang this song is the God that you have this morning. And David referred to Him as my high tower. I'll say this, the events of this world can be alarming at times. But we went through such an event 4 years ago, have you forgotten? Today's September the 11th. I bet nobody in this room forgets where you were when you found out about those planes smashing into those buildings over there in New York City and Washington, D.C. I'll never forget that. Now, some of you kids might have been so young that you don't remember. You remember all the occasion afterwards and everything. But maybe you don't remember that exact moment and so forth and so on. I never forget where I was. And boy, all the events that followed that time period 4 years ago. And we've just gone through another one. And the truth of the matter is, I'm surprised this one seems to have shaken people, some people more than 9/11 did. I told the church on Wednesday night at the Bible study that I had the opportunity on Tuesday to sit down with the owner of a car dealership here in this town on Tuesday. And I thought we were going to discuss cars because I was in the market for my wife a vehicle. And he brought up New Orleans. He brought up Hurricane Katrina. He brought up all the anarchy. He brought up all the killing. He brought up all the disaster. He said I was with five millionaires flying on a Learjet that belonged to the bank president. And we were watching this thing and he said all of us were under 50 years of age. And he said all of us began to talk about, man, we need to go out and get some weapons in case something like this happens around our neck of the woods. And how are we going to protect ourselves and protect our wives and protect our children? And what in the world is going on? What's happening with all this? And he gave me the opportunity. I got to sit for 35 minutes, and just witness to this man nonstop about Jesus Christ and the Bible and the accuracy of the Word of God and our relationship to Israel and the sin of our nation and salvation that's in Jesus Christ. And he listened to the whole thing. Listened to the whole presentation. He thinks he's saved. I really don't think he's saved. It sounds to me like he's trying to have eternal life by keeping the Ten Commandments. Nobody can do that. And I tried to show him that. Had the opportunity to show him. I know my wife said, she never said this after 9/11, but she said this lately. She said, you know, I think maybe I'd like to learn better how to shoot that gun you bought me. Now, we make a joke about that every now and again, going out and buying your wife a gun because she needs it. But that's not a joke. That's probably a smart thing to do. This car dealer, he said, you know, it makes me want to go out and buy a gun. I said, my friend, I've been telling our folks for years, you better buy a weapon while you can. I said, some of the fellows in our church got an arsenal. He looked at me. Huh? Yeah, nothing wrong with that, friend. The Constitution of your country guarantees you the right to buy and possess arms. Don't kowtow to the lily-livered, pinky, communistic, socialistic people that are trying to take that away from us. Don't kowtow to them. You're an American. Our Constitution is different from all others around the world. Embrace the liberty that you've got because of that thing. Go out and buy you a weapon. Let me tell you something. A gun never took anybody's life. An idiot behind the trigger did. Amen. You say, you sound like a conservative. You got it. Yes, sir. That's guaranteed by the Constitution. All this gun control stuff, Mayor Daley and all his crowd, it never does take the guns out of the hands of the criminals. It always takes it out of the law-abiding citizens. Leaves you protected, unprotected. I'm talking about this thing here. I'm talking about why this hurricane? People talking about all this that's gone on. I mean, it's gripped our nation and billions of dollars. And every time you pull up to the gas station, you're reminded about it because of the price of gasoline and so forth and so on and all that goes into it. You know, we, as I said last Sunday night, we were a part of pushing the Jews out of their homeland. God was not happy about that. Neither was God happy about the Southern Decadence homosexual parade that was going to be held in New Orleans that week. Media hadn't said too much about that, have they? Southern Decadence. Going to bring millions of dollars into the economy. God brought a storm out of the ocean and said, nope. And now our illustrious mayor up here in the city of Chicago has opened the city up to the gay games next year in 06. You might want to buckle your seatbelt. Now look here, friend. I may not have all the answers. I don't think I have all the answers, but I'll tell you what. I have one who's a high tower on my side. I have one who sits above where no man sits. He has all the advantages. No, let me restate that. He is the advantage. Amen. He's the high tower. You see, this is not a feel-good psychobabble sermon. I don't want you to leave here feeling good because I've got a high... I want you to understand, it's more than that. It's a principle. It's a truth. You've got a God who's a high tower. David said, God is my high tower. And when I don't understand all that's going on this plane, when I have enemies and I feel fearful and I feel unprotected, I have a God who's a high tower. And my position is one of increased strength because of my high tower. Now let me give you some observances this morning, some observations about this. Number one, begin every day in contact with your high tower. Begin every day in contact with your high tower. You know, the pilots of these aircraft are in touch with the tower before they ever push back from the gate. They're talking out of the cockpit there. And they're going over the flight schedule. They're given instructions about when to take off. They're given about instructions about what direction to take off. How of an altitude they're supposed to maintain. At what speed they're supposed to travel. If any difficulties arrive, the instructions are provided on how to handle them. They are in contact with the person in the high tower before they push from the gate. Child of God, start your day in contact with your high tower. Now, if you do that, you are immediately established in a position of increased strength. You've got an advantage. See, He sees things. He knows things. Wisdom and knowledge that you and I can't even begin to have. You folks that don't read your Bible and you don't pray, how do you navigate through the day? You say, well, I know where I'm supposed to go to work and I'm supposed to be here to pick up the kids and I'm supposed to do this and then we have supper at this time. And I know how to get through my day. How do you navigate through the day without being in contact with the God who is the high tower? How do you navigate? How do you navigate through life? You're flying only by sight. And you need to fly by His sight. When you make contact with your high tower, you can fly by His sight. I would be afraid to begin my day without making contact with the one who is the high tower. Every morning, dear Lord, thank you for the good night's sleep. Thank you that I have life, breath, and health. I can get out of bed this morning. I can walk around. Thank you, dear God, for your goodness. Lord, please help me to live for you today. Please direct my steps today. Please direct my path. Please keep me in your will. Please protect us, dear Lord. Please protect my wife. Please protect my children. Please protect my married kids. Please help them stay in your path. Help them stay in your way. Oh, God. Hey, folks, I got to make contact with the high tower every morning before the day begins. Make contact with your high tower. Establish that contact. Let me say number two, difficult times increase the necessity of contact with the high tower. This is what David experienced. Fear and danger and adversity. You know what those things did to David? They only made him more determined to flee to his high tower. And the truth of the matter is, the fallout of Katrina ought to make every person in this room closer to God. Have you become more God-conscious since a week ago? A month? Have you become more God-aware? Is there a greater desire to draw close underneath the arms that shelter you underneath His sheltering wings? What change has this made in your life? He said, well, I'll tell you what change it's made in my life. I'm calculating the cost of my... Everybody's up in arms about the cost of gasoline. We can still buy it. And it does make you stop and think. But folks, some people buy a 12-ounce cappuccino for $4. Now you multiply that out. see what the cost of a gallon of cappuccino is. Maybe that needs to go. Amen. Sure, there's a lot of things in our life that are more costly than gasoline. Things we don't need. Well, amen. That's right. Sure. You say, how does Katrina affect you? I'll tell you how it affects me. It sounds like I said last night, kneeling and praying and thinking about this morning's message. I'll tell you how it affected me. I want to be closer to Him who is my high tower. Makes me want to crawl up underneath the shelter of His wings. You see, it is right to make each one of us realize how little we are, how quickly things can change. And our hearts ought to cry out to our high towers. Has there been a sense of urgency? Is there an increased dependency upon your high tower? If not, why not? Are you so engrossed in television and video games which are not real that you are neglecting reality? We got a generation of folks who spend all their time wrapped up in stuff that's not real. All this alien space stuff that has no good whatsoever. You got anarchy a few hundred miles away. What happens? What if it hits here? You see, it makes me have an urgency, a sense of, Lord, I need You. I'm desperate for Your wisdom. I'm desperate for Your knowledge. I'm glad that I have You. You make the difference. You are my high tower. You are the advantage. Man, You give me a perspective that I didn't have, wouldn't have, if I didn't have You. What do I need to change? How's my heart? Difficult times should increase our urgency about being in contact with Him who is our high tower. Number three, let me say this morning. The tower helps the pilot take care of his passengers. You see, that pilot is responsible for the safe transportation of those passengers. And the man in the tower helps that pilot get that aircraft safely to its destination. In doing so, he helps that pilot take care of his responsibility for all those who are on board his aircraft. I'd like to talk to you dads just for a minute. I understand the excitement of falling in love and taking a wife. I understand that. I'm for that if it's done right and in God's will. That's great. But I'm going to tell you something, sir. When you took her, it was more than just a convenience. You took a responsibility. Not only for your wife, but for those children that God brings to you and your wife's union. I can't imagine a dad. How dare you men have a wife and child or children and have no contact with the tower? I'd be ashamed of myself. You have an increased responsibility as a dad and a husband. To get that family to a safe landing someday. I'd be ashamed. Don't call yourself a man if you want the conveniences of the marriage relationship, but you're not ready to handle the responsibilities of it. And those responsibilities mean more than just going to work and earning a paycheck and putting a roof over their head and food in their belly. It also involves being the spiritual leader of your home. I'll tell you what I am aggravated at. I am tired of. I am tired of watching good wives fret and worry and wring their hands about the children and the direction of the family because the husband is disinterested in the Bible, disinterested in the things of the Lord, disinterested in God's will for the family. And here's a wife who's fretting and worrying and sometimes weeping because she's so concerned about the direction of the family and the welfare of the children. And she's not trying to stay in her role as the subordinate. But dad's not filling that position of responsibility. Fellas, look, it's one thing to have the authority. But if you're not willing to bear the responsibility that goes with the authority, you're not much of an authority. Amen. Now, I don't care if it silences every man in the room this morning. It's time for God's men to step up to the plate and realize when I took a wife, I took more than just a convenience. I took more than just a partner in intimacy, I took a responsibility. And when God brings children into our relationship, I'm even increased responsible to direct and navigate that family through life. I can't do that without being in contact with Him who's the high tower. Dads, I'm calling you to the plate today. Step up and take responsibility. Be the spiritual leader for your family. Be the spiritual leader for your marriage. Be the spiritual leader for your children. Provide that role model. Be that person who's in contact with the high tower, who sits down with the kids and the wife and talks about the Bible, who has a biblical perspective on things. Your perspective is not always driven by the economy. Your perspective is not only that of sports and video games. Your perspective is not only driven by money, but it's driven by your relationship with the God of this book. He puts you in that home as the leader, the director, the authority. Bear up to the responsibility. Get in contact with your high tower. Be the man God wants you to be. Amen. We've got to have that. Our churches across this country are croaking because of a lack of male leadership, not in positions in the church. I'm talking about in the family. Lead the home. Lead your wife. Lead the children. Most good women are craving for that. They're longing for that. They want a man who can pray and talk to God and get direction and say to the family, you know what, kids, man, this thing down here in New Orleans, it's bad. I hate it for those people. But let me tell you why God does things like He does, why God allows things to happen like He does sometimes. And say, you know what, because of this, we're going to be this, we're going to do this, we're going to have this. Take the lead. Be the man God wants you to be. Be in contact with the high tower and take care of the passengers that God has entrusted to your keeping and your care. And let me say this morning as I come down to the end of this thing. If you are not saved, you're flying solo. You see, we have this misconception that everybody in life has a relationship with God and can call on God at any time they need Him. And they do. When they need a crutch or a band-aid, they call on Him. But the Bible teaches a different story. The Bible teaches that God does not even hear the prayer of the unsaved. Unless it's a prayer for salvation. God has no relationship with a person who's unsaved. Because God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if your spirit has never been made alive, you see, you were born into this world with a spirit that is dead in trespasses and sins. And until you get born again, your spirit remains dead. And if you leave this world with a dead spirit, you have no relationship with God. And you'll be sent to the place where people are separated from Him forever and ever and ever, called the lake of fire, hell in your Bible. When you get saved, your spirit is made alive. Now you have a contact to God. You can communicate. He can communicate to you because He's a spirit, and they that worship Him must do it in spirit and in truth. Are you saved? Have you come to Christ? That's what's on this man's mind over here. We had a couple in the church that was over there meeting with him about some business before the Wednesday night service. And he brought up an issue. And my name came up from the members of our church. They're here this morning. They mentioned, said, well, Pastor Angel has taught from the Bible that this, this, and this. And he sat back in his chair and he said, you know what? He said, that Pastor Angel, he said, that's a knowledgeable guy. I'm not anymore. Look, folks, I'm no more knowledgeable than anybody else. But I got a high tower who's real knowledgeable. If you're not saved, that's a Bible word. If you're not born again, that's a Bible word. You're flying your aircraft solo. You say, yeah, I saw a movie one time, man, where the pilot died and the co-pilot got killed and they had to go back and they lost connection with the tower and they got a guy out of the back of the plane. He landed that thing safely. Man, now that's what I'm going to do. Well, that may be, but life is no movie. And there I go again. This unreal, fake Hollywood fluff. Get your mind off that stuff, folks. Get your mind on what's real. We have got a country. You're living in a country that's reeling in sin. Do you understand that? 4 years ago, what should have been a wake-up call to this nation to get on our faces and repent of our sin only made us trust in our own strength more. We pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps. We'll show you how resilient we are. God wasn't looking for that. God was looking for tears and humility and for asking for forgiveness. That's what God wanted. God's not looking for us to show Him how strong we are. He's looking for repentance. He's looking for a humble heart. You're a part of a nation that's reeling in sin. I mean, reeling in sin. Do you know all the killing and all the murder and all the rape and all the stealing that's going on down there because of drugs? They can't get drugs. It's crazy. So it'll never happen here. I wouldn't be so boastful about that. If you're not saved, now's the time to get saved. God brings these events into our nation's consciousness to wake us up, to help us realize there is a God in heaven. This thing is more than just what's here in this earth. There's the one who rules in the kingdom of men. And friend, you need a relationship with Him. He's the high tower. If you're not saved, you need to come to Christ and you need to do it now. Don't wait. And if you're not sure, then make sure. This is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I'd be scared to death to be navigating my life right now solo. I am so thankful I've got a God who's a high tower. He can help and I can be in contact with Him every day. He can lead my steps, direct my path. He's infinitely more wise, infinitely more knowledgeable than I am. And every day I make contact with Him, I just increase. My position just has increased strength. I want to fight the battle on the top side, on the top of the hill, from the advantage where I can look down. Just get the thing landed safely. I'm glad I've got a God who's a high tower and can provide that for me. I exhort all you men especially, be the man you're supposed to be. Lead your family. Be the pilot who's in care of the passengers, in touch with the man in the high tower. Get God's help. Get God's wisdom. That's what He's there for. Navigate this thing safely. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you for listening this morning. It's been on my heart for the last several hours to say these things to you today. Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Let me ask this morning, who's here would say, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm sure of it. I've been born again. I'm not ashamed of it. Would you raise your hand, please? If that's you this morning, you're saved and you know it. Please don't just raise your hand for the sake of raising your hand. Please be sincere. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there one here today who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I am not sure. I don't know that I've ever been born again. That's a term maybe I don't know much about. It's in the Bible. Are you on your way to heaven? Do you know that for sure? Pastor, I don't know that for sure. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Anybody like that here this morning? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pastor, I'll raise my hand and ask you to pray for me. Anybody from side to side, front to back, God bless you on the side over here. I appreciate that. You may take your hand down. Anyone else this morning? I'm not sure that I'm saved. With all that's going on in this country right now, the events of the last 2 weeks, Pastor, it has made me think a little bit. That's why, that's part of what this is all about. Think. Are you saved? Who else would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody else? Join this one this morning. Lift your hands and Pastor, pray for me. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking. I'd like to ask the person that lifted a hand right now just to look at me just for a second. Just God bless you, young lady. The most important thing you'll ever know in life is that you're saved. That you've got it nailed down. I sat like you did in service one time. Somebody took a Bible and showed me how I could be for sure I was saved. Why don't you come and let somebody do that right now? I'll get one of these ladies over here, Miss Payne, standing right here. That's right. God bless you, ma'am. That's wonderful. She can sit down right there in that pew. Brother Caleb, can sit right there and show you how to know for sure that you're going to heaven someday from the Bible. Not maybe, not hope to, but know so from the Word of God. Anybody like that here today? Pastor Angel, I need to know like this other person. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not going to miss this opportunity. Pray for me. Anybody else like that? All right? Maybe you hear you've been saved and not baptized since you've been saved in deep water. And the first command of the Lord is to be obedient. Believer's baptism. He said, Pastor, I've been saved but never baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand this morning? Anybody like that? Been saved but not baptized yet. Anybody? God bless you to the left over here. If you have permission from your parents and you're here to follow the Lord in believer's baptism this morning, or you're an adult, you come right now. Scott and Linda are ready to help in the back for baptism. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you come now. If you don't have permission from your parents, you come give us your name and we'll get permission for you. We'll go see your mom and dad. Just come, that's right, come give us your name. God bless you. Now, who's here this morning? Say, Pastor, sometime throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. God is my high tower. Something you said today about being in contact with Him every day and a sense of urgency in light of all that's going on. And maybe I'm a dad, I'm a husband. And I need to be in contact. Something, I just don't have this urgency. I don't have that drive. Pray for me, Pastor. The Spirit of God spoke to me today about my high tower, my communication with Him. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand, please, all over the room? Be honest about it. Boy, I appreciate that. Thank you, men. God bless you. Somebody else? Somebody else? You may take your hand down. Thank you. I appreciate that. Somebody else? Pray for me. Something was said that touched my heart. Would you pray for me? Anybody else? If you've been here, you're here, you've been visiting the church, you're saved and baptized, and you want to be a member of this church, you can come and visit with us about it. We can set up an appointment. If we don't know you real well, we can get to know you. Express an interest in that. Whatever the Lord's done in your heart this morning, now the altar is open. If you need to be saved, you come right to Brother Caleb here and say, Brother Caleb, I need to be saved or baptized. Or if you need to spend a few moments down here, if the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Let's stand, please. Dear Father, please speak to our hearts. Help us today in Jesus' name. Ladies, would you play us a song of invitation? Would you come today? Would you come this morning? You lifted a hand, would you mean it? The Spirit of God speak to your heart. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Whatever the need of your heart is. You don't have to be an adult to come to the altar to pray. Thank God for children who come. Thank God for any teenage young man or young lady who feels the need to come. My high tower. My high tower. Ladies, when we finish at the altar this morning, would you come if you need to during this course?